morning, open your Bibles with me. We're going to look at two portions of Scripture. We're going to go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4. And then we're going to look at Matthew, chapter 9. Mark, chapter 4, and Matthew, chapter 9. And as we begin, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we approach you again with thanksgiving, thanking you so much for your goodness and your grace and all of your gifts. And this morning, as we look toward your word, we just thank you for the Holy Spirit who leads us, guides us into all truth. We pray that he would take your word this morning, make it alive to us so that we can comprehend what you have for us individually this morning by the Spirit of God. And we thank you so much for revealing yourself to us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to share something with you that I think is really, really important. And it's sort of something that we can all identify with at one time or another in our lives, daily even. There's a spiritual side and a natural side to everything that we do. And we have to be cautious so that we don't become, I won't use the term super spiritual, but somebody said it like this many years ago: we don't want to become so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. But yet on the other hand, we don't want to neglect things naturally that will aid us spiritually and help us in life. And there's a balance between the two. And God will always meet us where we are if we're willing to do the right thing, believe the right thing, say the right thing. But we have to have some kind of balance in life. This morning I'm going to talk about a day in the ministry of Jesus. And I just want you to get a glimpse of what he experienced in this 24 to 36 hour period. And as we look at this account, we'll be able to pick up some things that will help us in life, help us to understand some things. Now, the first thing that I want to deal with, because we're going to look at what happened around the Sea of Galilee. And for those of you who didn't know it, Jesus lived in a city called Capernaum. And Capernaum was on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is actually a freshwater lake. It's not an ocean. It's about 13 miles from north to south, and its widest point's about 8 miles wide. And so it's a good size lake. But you have Capernaum at the north end. And you don't have to turn there, but in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "And leaving Nazareth," speaking of Jesus, "he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali." And so he made his home there. It was a very beautiful seaport city. And we pick up the account here now in Mark chapter 4. And Jesus is actually near his home in Capernaum. He's in a ship and he's teaching people the Word of God. And he's teaching them some parables and one important parable about the sower sowing the Word. Notice verse 35. "And the same day when the even was come," or the evening came, "he said to them," his disciples, "let's pass over to the other side." Now he's on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he's telling his disciples, "let's go south. Let's pass over to the other side." "And when they sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind." That's very important to take note of, a storm of wind. "And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow." Now, let me make this observation. When you're in a ship on the lake and a storm of wind comes up that's so severe that now the boat is full of water, if you're able to sleep through that, I dare say you were plenty tired. Would you agree with that? I don't know about you, but I'm a pretty light sleeper if I'm not sleeping in my own bed. Now, I can sleep through a thunderstorm. I mean, it can lightning, it can blow up outside. I'll sleep right through it. But you have somebody touch that front door, I'll wake right up. I've done it. Or if I go to a hotel or if I'm on the road someplace, I never sleep like I do at home. But my body's adjusted to certain things. But I guarantee you, if I was in the back of a boat and that boat was so rocked by the waves and wind that it's full of water, I think I'd wake up. But yet Jesus was still asleep. He must have been tired. Now, notice this, verse 38. He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. They woke him and said to him, "Master, don't you care? We're all going to die." And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, and how is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey his voice?" Now, here's one of these instances, and you'll find a few of them in the Gospels, where if you're not aware of the context, you will think that Jesus woke up and was having a cranky moment. You ever have a cranky moment? Anybody ever wake you up out of a sound sleep, and maybe you didn't respond the right way? Maybe you didn't feel like getting up? Well, if you read this without understanding the context, you'll think Jesus was having a cranky moment. He wasn't having a cranky moment. Now, I want you to notice something, and here's something you have to understand. Many times in life, we have to deal with unexpected storms. This storm came out of nowhere. It is obvious that when they sailed from Capernaum south, and they were headed to a city called Gadara, that it was clear sailing. There was no indication at all that there was anything wrong. No cold fronts coming through, no tornadic clouds. But notice this was a storm of wind. And the wind caused the waves to pile into the boat. Here's something you have to understand. Many times in life, when the storms of life arise against you, make sure you're addressing the right thing. Many people are concerned with the water when the water's not the problem. The water is not the problem. It's the wind. And so Jesus woke up, knew immediately what the source of the problem was, and he rebuked the wind. That means he spoke sharply to it and said, "Stop it." And said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And immediately there was a great calm. Now, when Jesus had his conversation with his disciples and said, "Why are you afraid and where's your faith?" You know what he's telling them? Listen to me carefully. He's telling them this. You could have handled this. What'd you wake me up for? Why are you afraid and where's your faith? In other words, you could have done what I did. Now, that's a mind blower. Everybody say mind blower. Mind blower. But Jesus told the truth. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid and where is your faith?" There's several things that you can glean from this story. Many times the storms of life come to us unexpectedly. And there are some people who are silly enough to think, well, the storms of life came to teach us lessons. Well, this storm had one lesson in mind. Drown them. Drown them all. And there's some people who are silly enough to say, well, you know, the Lord let it happen. It must have been the will of God. How stupid can you be that God would drown Jesus and all of the disciples in the Sea of Galilee? Jesus got up and said, "Let us pass over to the other side." He did not say, "Let's go halfway and drown." Are you with me? And in the same manner, God has a purpose for your life. And his purpose does not involve you drowning because of the storms of life. Are you with me? And so Jesus addressed the storm. There was a great calm. Now, remember, he was in the hinder part of the ship, and what was he doing? Sleeping. Now he's been awakened. He had to address the wind. He spoke to the sea. And another one of the Gospels says, immediately they arrived at the other side. Now, notice chapter 5. of Mark's gospel. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Well, there's a nice welcoming party. Fella comes out of the cemetery, possessed with demons. Just what you want when you go to a new town. Now, here's something that I want you to understand concerning this storm. And I think you'll have enough perception to get this. The reason this storm of wind came out of nowhere was because these demons in Gadara knew what would happen if Jesus got to the other side of that lake. And they did not want to give up their prized possessions. Their prized possessions, and here Mark's gospel talks about one man possessed with a legion of demons. Another gospel writer mentions a second man. There were two men that were possessed with demons who had terrorized that whole region. The devil did not want to give up his prized possession. And so he tried to stop Jesus from getting there. Didn't work. Are you with me? And in the same manner, many times in life, storms will come to you to stop you from reaching the destination God has for you. The question is, what will you do with the storm? Will you succumb or will you overcome? Well, you'll learn some things in this lesson that'll help you overcome. And so Jesus goes to Gadara, which is on the southern part of the Sea of Galilee. And there were actually several cities down there. And delivers this man, casts the demons out of him. The demons run into a herd of swine, pigs. The pigs run down into the sea and all drown themselves. And the people from that region got together, approached Jesus, and gave him a monumental request. Would you do us a favor and leave? They asked him to go. And you know what he did? He left. And he sailed back across the Sea of Galilee, another 13 miles north. Now, when he got back to Capernaum, as he got out of the ship, something happened. We're in Mark chapter 5. And let's go down to verse 21. Are you with me? Mark 5:21. And when Jesus passed over again by ship to the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was near the sea. And behold, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, and said, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she'll live." And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. In other words, he was with a group of people that was so thick that he was pressed on every side. This crowd was so thick, the Greek word sonthlibo, which literally means had Jesus attempted to stop, the crowd would have carried him forward. That's how pressed he was. Now, in the midst of this situation, there was a woman with an issue of blood who had heard that Jesus was there. And she was saying, "If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole." And so she came in the press, the crowd behind, and touched the hem of his garment. She probably touched the tassels on his prayer shawl. And when she did, the power of God went out of his clothes and into her and healed her instantly. Verse 29 says, she was instantly healed and felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now Jesus knew that power went out of him and stopped and said to the crowd, "Who touched me?" His disciples said, "Jesus, what are you talking about? Everybody's touching you. What do you mean, who touched me?" Well, the woman was afraid, and she came and fell down and told him all the truth. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague." Now, all of this has taken place within this same 24-hour period. Now, here's something that we can see. This woman with an issue of blood touched the hem of his garment, and the anointing flowed out of him into her. what was different about her touch versus all the other people that were touching Jesus? She touched him with faith. She touched him believing that if she could get to him, she'd be healed. This woman had been sick for 12 years, had spent her entire life savings, didn't get better, got worse. But when she heard of Jesus, faith came. And she pressed her way through the crowd. In other words, she made an effort to get to Jesus. Everybody say effort to get to Jesus. She had to press her way forward. And her touch was different because she touched him with faith. We see that word faith again. Jesus asked his disciples, "Why are you afraid and where is your faith?" So faith is a necessary ingredient in receiving from God. Faith is a necessary ingredient in navigating your way through the storms of life. Faith. And so while he had ministered to her, and he's having a conversation with her, people come from the ruler of the synagogue's house and say, "Don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter just died." Now, that's devastating news. Now, here's something about Jairus that I want you to understand. Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue. In other words, he was a high official in the synagogue. When he came and asked Jesus to come to his home, he did so at great risk. One of the Gospels says when Jesus got out of that boat, Jairus fell prostrate on the ground, laid on the ground before him and begged him, "Please come to my home, lay your hands on my daughter because she's at the point of death." Everybody in town knew who Jairus was. Everybody who was out there that morning saw him laying on the ground before Jesus. Now, the Jewish hierarchy had issued a decree that anybody who acknowledged that Jesus was the Son of David or the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That means excommunicated. This man put his career on the line. He put his job on the line. He laid it all on the table. He was willing to lose it all to save his daughter. That's faith. And Jesus followed that man and his faith all the way to the house. Now, when the bad news came, Jesus said to him, "Don't be afraid, only believe." You know, many times we take complicated things and make them harder than they really are. When you break them down into their simple parts, the answers normally are very simple. And many times I've shared with people who've received devastating news, and I've told them, you only have to remember five little words. Don't be afraid. Only believe. That's it. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Notice that fear is always a factor. When the water's coming into the boat, these disciples are bailing water and they are afraid. What are they afraid of? Dying. Drowning. And some of these men were professional fishermen. This storm was raging, came out of nowhere. But yet Jesus said, "Why are you afraid? And where is your faith?" And so always remember those five little words. Don't be afraid, only believe. If you keep your confidence in God's word, he will always work on your behalf. Now, here we are in the Gospel of Mark. I want you to turn back to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9. Let's continue this story. Matthew chapter 9. All right, you with me? Let's start at verse 22. We'll pick up with his conversation with the woman and the issue of blood. But Jesus turned him about. When he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making noise, he said to them, "Give place or move out of the way. The maid is not dead, but sleeps." And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Now, you find a little more detail in the Gospel of Mark, but Jesus told this woman's parents, give her something to eat. She was about 12 years old. And then he told them this, shh, don't tell anybody. Don't say anything. Now, that's a strange request, but that's another lesson. Don't say anything. And here he raises this girl from the dead. Now, let's rewind a little bit and let's look at this day of ministry that Jesus had. It began in Capernaum with him teaching from a ship and teaching people parables about the Word of God. Then he tells his disciples, let's go to the other side. They're taking a 13-mile journey from Capernaum to the southern end of the Sea of Galilee. And then as you go inland a little bit, you run into Gadara. And so there are 13 miles, and then they encounter a storm out of nowhere. Jesus is tired. He's asleep in the ship. The boat is rocking. The waves are blowing. The wind is blowing. The waves are coming in the boat. The boat is filling with water, and he's still asleep. And they wake him up and say, Master, don't you care? We're going to die. And he rebukes the wind and says to the sea, peace, be still. Then he goes across the sea, encounters this demon-possessed man. Actually, there were two. Delivers him. Then there's this big commotion with all these pigs. They drown themselves in the sea. And then the people from the town come out and have a meeting with Jesus and said, you know, would you just get in your boat and leave? And so now he's headed back across the lake, another 13-mile journey, and goes back to Capernaum, his hometown. As soon as he gets out of the boat, there's the ruler of the synagogue laying on the ground, begging him, saying, would you please come to my home? My daughter's at the point of death. Lay your hands on her that she may live. And so now he's following this man to his home, and the crowd becomes so thick that he's pressed on every side. And while he's heading to Jairus' house, a woman with an issue of blood grabs the hem of his garment. The power of God flows out of him. He stops and ministers to her, has a conversation. And while he's doing this, bad news comes from the home of the ruler of the synagogue. Don't trouble the master. Your daughter just died. And he says, don't be afraid. Only believe. He heads to the house, goes in there, grabs her by the hand and says, young maid, I say to thee, arise. She is miraculously raised from the dead. And he presents her to his parents, her parents, and says, make sure she gets something to eat. And please make sure you don't tell anybody about this. Have you ever wondered why Jesus did that? Jesus didn't need a crowd. You with me? There are many people that I know that will do anything to get a crowd. Many times Jesus had a crowd and he'd leave. It wasn't about crowds. It was about doing the will of God. It was about ministering to people. I often think about why he told his disciples, you know, let's go to the other side. He was being led by the Spirit of God. God knew there were two men over there that needed to be set free. So in spite of what the devil wanted to hold on to, Jesus obeyed his Father and brought deliverance to those men. Now, remember how this account started? Jesus had taught. He's in the ship. He's asleep. He still hasn't had any sleep up to this point. Would you agree with me that he's had a long day thus far? Would you agree with me that he's encountered some things that would tax him physically? Now, I want you to notice what happened after this. And this is where we want to spend a few minutes. We're in Matthew chapter 9. And let's go to verse 27. He's leaving the home of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. And it says, and when Jesus departed from thence, two blind men followed him, crying, saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Now, it's interesting when you study the original language and here, when you look at the Greek, the word follow is a word that also denotes to pass by somebody. And picture this, if you will. These two blind men know that Jesus is in the home of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. But when he comes out of the home, they begin to cry, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And the scripture says they followed him. It literally means Jesus walked right by them. And where was he going? Everybody say, to the house. Have you ever been so tired? Have you ever been so weary that the only thing you wanted to do was get to the house? You with me? I mean, there are times when I will leave either church or leave someplace, and I'm only thinking about one thing, get to the house. Why? Because I know when I get to the house, there's refreshment there. There's a place I can lay down. There's a place where I can have some peace and quiet. I don't care what I've been through that day. If I can just get to the house, everything's going to be better. You with me? Because I can lay down, I can get some iced tea, I can do whatever I want to do, I can kick my shoes off, I can put my casual clothes on, I can go to sleep. When I get to the house, if I want to go to sleep at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, nobody's going to stop me. Especially if I'm tired. Jesus is tired. He was a man just like us. And the scripture says they followed him, literally, he passed them by and headed to the house. Now, I don't know how far Jesus' home was compared to Jairus' home. They both lived in the same city. But I'd imagine he was probably at least several blocks away. Would you agree with that? I don't think he lived next door to the synagogue. But notice verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. Notice that Jesus didn't stop. And the word for cry is the Greek word kratzo. And it means to croak. And it paints a picture of an annoying sound. One translation says, they cried loudly. Another translation denotes that this word is sort of like what a crow does. You ever hear a crow outside your house? I can't stand crows. Now, they fill a vital function in the ecosystem. You know, they eat dead things. But if you ever notice when you wake up in the morning, if you hear a crow first, you won't hear the other birds. I've mentioned this before. Listen for it. You hear their, ah, rah, rah. All the other birds lay low. They stay silent. You know why? Because crows will eat their eggs. Crows will eat their babies. And so they lay silent. But if you don't hear any crows, you know, many times in the morning, it's like a concert. You hear all the birds. Now, watch, pay attention to what I'm seeing. You'll find it's true. So here Jesus is heading to the house, and you got these two blind guys crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. He keeps walking. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on us. He's heading to the house. Now, here's the question that you have to consider. Many times in life, when we use our faith to achieve a certain thing, are we willing to go all the way? Or does our faith have small endurance? Is it weak? See, these blind men could have stood outside of Jairus' house and watched Jesus walk down the road. And there goes their sight. Are you with me? No, they followed him. And continued to cry out. I'd imagine there were probably people standing around thinking, well, why didn't Jesus minister to these guys? I've seen him open blind eyes before. Jesus is heading to the house. Are you with me? Why? He's tired. Now, notice what happens when these blind men actually get into the home. Verse 27, two blind men followed him thence, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said, Yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes and said, According to your faith, be it unto you. Here's the question you have to answer. Is your faith willing to take it to the house? Is your faith willing to follow him all the way to the house? Or are you going to quit at the corner? Are you with me? Are you going to quit at the corner? Now, this is one of these little ingredients, one of the little keys that'll determine whether or not you were successful in fulfilling God's will for your life, number one. Number two, whether you were successful in life in general, number two. And number three, it'll change your whole outlook on the way you live. When you realize that there's nothing that your faith cannot achieve, then you're willing to go all the way to the house. Are you with me? How far are you willing to follow with your faith? Are you going to stop at the corner? Or when Jesus get in the front? I know there were some people who have this attitude. They followed Jesus for 7 blocks. He made a right turn. He got to his home and he went on in. And I'd cry and I know he heard me. Are you with me? But do you have enough audacity to follow the man in the house? Jesus went in through the front door. These blind men went in with him. Notice Jesus didn't bring them into the house. They went into the house. Jesus probably went into the den, sat down in a chair, and they got right in front of him. And Jesus looked at them. And I know he was tired. And he simply said, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" They said, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, Lord." And Jesus laid his hands on him and said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." These blind men received their sight because of their faith. Not because Jesus was anointed. Not because Jesus was the Son of God. But because they believed that he had the key and the answer, and they were not willing to stop at the corner. Many times we get involved in situations where we engage our faith, and if we don't see anything change in a week, in a month, in a year, we quit. And many times, victory is right around the corner. Victory is right around the corner. Are you willing to follow him into the house? I don't know about you, but I just don't walk up in people's houses. Now, I understand it was a different time back then and a different culture, but I still don't just walk up in somebody's house. You know, in 2017, that's a dangerous thing to do. Are you with me? You could get hurt. Okay. But just as a matter of courtesy, before I enter someone's home, I'll knock on the door, ring the doorbell. And many times I'll make a phone call first. "Hey, I'm coming over. Is it okay?" Are you with me? You know, I went by Minister Heidelberg's house the other day. And before I went, I made a phone call. I'm not rude. You know, I mean, he could be taking a bath. I don't know. And just so happens he was out in the backyard doing some gardening back there. But I called him up and said, "Charles, I've got this, that, and the other. And I was going to swing by and drop it off to you if that's okay." And he said, "Sure, Pastor Bill, come on over." Well, that's how I do things. I don't just up and walk in somebody's house. But these two blind men had no shame. Or as we say, there was no shame in their game. They wanted to receive their sight. They weren't stopping at the corner. They weren't stopping 6 blocks away. And Jesus went into the house. They're going with him. Are you that bold and audacious that your faith is going on into the house? Are you with me? Many times we give up too quickly. And we miss out on the blessing of God. Now, don't turn there, but write this down. Luke chapter 18. Y'all remember the parable, or the story, actually, it wasn't a parable, that Jesus taught about the widow woman and the unjust judge? And Jesus said there was in a certain city an unjust judge who didn't regard man, neither feared God. And there was a widow who came to him and said, "Avenge me of my adversary." And for a while he wouldn't. But after a while he said to himself, "Though I don't fear God and I don't fear man, I'm going to avenge this widow woman, lest by her continual coming she wear me out." Now, that's just one translation. Here are another couple translations about this same instance. This is the Expanded Bible, and this is Luke 18:5. This is what the unjust judge said. Yet because she keeps bothering me and is causing me such trouble, I will see that she gets her rights, justice. Otherwise, she will keep coming until she wears me out or eventually come and punch me and blacken my eye. That's boldness. You with me? This woman would not take no for an answer. Here's the Amplified Bible. It says, "Yet because this widow continues to bother me, I will defend and protect and avenge her, lest she give me intolerable annoyance and wear me out by her continual coming, or at the last she come and rail on me, or assault me, or strangle me." This woman wouldn't take no for an answer. Don't quit so soon. Keep your faith on the line until you receive what you believed. Keep your faith on the line until you receive what you prayed for. Don't quit. I don't care what happens. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care who says what. You keep believing. Don't have any shame in your game. You got to go in the house, go in the house. Are you with me? You know, there are times when you have to do some things that are quite bold because there's such a big need. And so we want to make sure that we're willing to follow all the way to the house. Jesus taught that parable in Luke chapter 18, and he said this. He taught it so that men would pray and not faint. Amen. The word faint means become weary, become tired, and give up. Many times in life, that's what happens with us. Just as Jesus was tired, many times we get tired. You know, a lot of times when you're tired, when you're hurt, when you're angry, when you're lonely, that's when the enemy attacks. Why? Because you're vulnerable. He's not going to come at you when, you know, you just left MGCC, you had a wonderful service, you know, you're praying in the Spirit on the way home, you got to the restaurant, you had your porterhouse steak, and then you're headed for the house. No, that's probably not the time he's going to come at you. Are you with me? He's going to come at you after you've been working all day and you wore out, you're tired, and then somebody's going to come up with some goofy, stupid thing. Some storm's going to come out of nowhere. You have to be steady and live your life based on principle. Live your life by the Word of God. I don't care what happens or who says what. You stay in faith. Amen. I don't care what circumstances arise, what storms may come your way, you keep believing. And if you have to follow Jesus all the way into the house, be willing to go all the way. Amen? Don't quit. Don't give up. Because what you're believing for has to have a foundation, the Word of God. God's Word is eternal. It'll never let you down. It'll never fail you. Amen. You know, I remember years ago, I hesitate to talk about it, but I had a family member who was having some issues, and they just vanished. And I had to comfort their mother. And I knew by the Spirit of God that this person was okay. And this woman's in anguish. And she said, "What am I going to do? I think somebody hurt him. Somebody killed him. He's probably on the side of the road somewhere." And I knew by the Spirit of God he was alive and well. And I said, "Don't worry, he's going to call you." And she'd say, "When?" I said, "I don't know, but he's going to call." 6 months went by. 6 months became 9 months. 9 months became a year. She is distraught. "I fear something happened to my son." I said, "Don't worry, he's going to call you." She'd say, "When?" I said, "I don't know, but he's going to call you." Turned into a year and a half. 18 months. Hadn't heard a thing. It's like he vanished off the face of the earth. And I had a conversation, and I said, "Don't worry, he's going to call you." She said, "When?" Well, 2 years went by. And I got a phone call. And she said, guess who called me? I knew who it was. I said, where is he? She said, he's in Indianapolis. I said, what's he doing there? He had traversed the whole country from L.A. to Miami twice. And now he's in Indianapolis. She said, can you help him get home? I said, yep. And I helped him get home, and that was the last time he pulled that stunt. Are you with me? But you have to have a faith that just won't quit. I mean, 2 years is a long time. But I knew on the inside of me, he's going to call you. Took 2 years, but he did. Amen? A faith that won't quit. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to follow Jesus all the way into the house? Are you willing to believe that you receive and go all the way to the house? Take your feelings off your sleeves. Don't care how it looks or what it looks like. It may seem as though Jesus just walked right by you. That's okay. You follow him all the way to the house. Because you will always, always, always receive if you'll persist. Amen? Did you learn anything this morning? Let's all stand. Hallelujah.